Hey guys, welcome to episode 115 of the All Aboard podcast. In this episode, we talk to the guys from Miles from Main Street podcast, Brian and Mikhailo. The discussion starts off, we recap Brian's most recent trip to Disney World, and then we get into our favorite moments on the attraction and the listener moments on the attraction as well. Also, a little announcement, the website is no longer available. We are only available on Instagram, so the Disney Podcast family on Instagram. You can click on the link tree and you can see all of the shows that are part of that and all the latest posts from each one of those episodes. So, yeah.
This is Dylan White, and you're listening to the All Aboard Podcast. Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
Like me. 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from?
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of All Aboard the Disneyland Railroad. We are a Disneyland-based podcast, which we hop onto the railroad every other week, and it takes us to a different attraction at the Disneyland Resort. I am Jungle Cruiser, sitting next to one of my hosts in crime. We got Hattie up in his prob. What's up, man?
How is it going, everybody? Getting excited for the opening of Disneyland. Well, it's probably already open. Sure, some of you have already been. Yeah. We don't record early.
No, not at all.
So if you've been, congratulations. I hope you had a great time. We'll be, well, 2/3 of us will be going in June. So we'll probably put out when we'll be there and see some of you guys. But it's exciting times again in the little Disney community.
Yeah, you guys can have a little DU All Aboard meetup.
Yeah.
We also have, speaking of the DU, we have Yo-Ho Joe from Sacramento. What's up, man? How you doing?
Welcome, foolish mortals. How are you doing?
You gonna do that for the transition this time?
No. Welcome, my friends. Hello.
Yes, that's awesome.
I had to go shorter than Hattie on my trip.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
So what's the temperature where you guys are? I'm just joking. All right, guys.
I don't understand Fahrenheit.
Okay, we got general shout outs from our episode, Indiana Jones. We have MM.
When I saw that posted, I was just like, he did not. Oh, my. That was hilarious.
I did. We got MM Melka from Instagram writes 3 fire signs, which means the episode was fire or Indiana Jones fire from the bridge. Who knows?
Either way. I say the episode was hot.
It was
hot. 3 times hot. 3 times.
Thanks for that. We also have Mrs. Workout in Disney writes, woohoo, with the little hands up like she's riding a roller coaster or something. Or Indiana Jones. Just kidding.
But, or double high five.
Double high five. Yeah, while you're riding the ride, you got to do double high five. One thing I didn't mention in the last episode, a cool way to ride it is to like almost stand up as much as you can because the seatbelt obviously, you know, restrains you, but and ride it like you're flailing on a roller coaster. That's actually pretty fun. You're not going to fall out. But
yeah,
those are our general shout outs. We appreciate
unless you're driving Ryan's younger brother and sister, you know, you got to keep your hands on the wheel.
If you're driving, you can't stand up. No, don't do it.
But no hands. Just see what happens.
Safety first.
Let the Disney winds take you away.
Let the fire take you. Just joking. But so, those are our general shout outs. Speaking of shout outs,
I'm going to shout a little bit, if that's okay. We would like to thank our engineers helping us chug along every week. And before we get to that, I just want to let you guys all know we have a brand new tier/station on our Patreon, and that is the Tomorrowland station. I'll just give you a one-time quick rundown of what you get on that new station. You get a shout out on the show, your choice of a Jungle Cruise or a Pirates of the Caribbean map. Those are really cool. You get to listen to our bonus episode every single month. So, and you can go back and listen to the old ones. So you can listen to Yoho Joe talk about D23 or Mini JC talk about cotton candy for an hour, which made me want cotton candy.
True story.
And you get special all aboard merch every 6 months, and we got some really cool stuff. So you guys want to check that out, go to patreon.com/allaboard the Disneyland Railroad, and we'd like to do our shout outs now, so you could be a part of this if you'd like. We'd like to thank Cousin Jenny, Bernie, Sasquatch, John, and Earl.
Thank you, guys. Yes, thank you. Continue the train of shout outs. We have Discord Apparel on Instagram, or their website is www.dizcore.com. You guys have heard of them. They do the mashups between the artists and Disney characters, and they had a very successful one in the Iron Duck, but they have a new one coming out, is the Toy Story Outcast mashup, which you guys can go to their Instagram and check out the image of that, created by the colorblind artist. They work with that the colorblind artist, and we actually tagged them in our last episode as well. So go check them out. Like I said, that you can also find them on our link tree, the Discord Apparel on the link tree. So yeah. Also, before we get onto the railroad, we are now on Anchor FM. So that's also on our link tree. So you guys can go listen to us on Anchor. Also, everywhere else, you've already been listening to us, Spotify, Apple Music. SoundCloud's going to go away. So if you do listen to us on SoundCloud, well, if you're listening to this episode now, we're still there, but it'll be going away very soon. So you can find us in every other spot, though.
Yeah, one of the cool things about Anchor, if you listen through that platform, as a listener, you can actually leave a voice message straight to the show, and we can share that on the an upcoming show. So it's a nice little feature that even as a listener, you can feel like you're part of the show.
And we welcome all voice comments. If you guys want to email the show at allaboard1955, even if you don't want to go through Anchor, is what I'm saying. We will play your audio on the show if you would like us to, so we like to do the shout outs, and we would like to, if you want to have your voice featured on the show as well. So
profanity.
Yes. we're actually going to go aboard the railroad. I do put that. And we're going to go pick up the guys from Miles from Main Street podcast and talk about the Haunted Mansion.
It's going to be a short trip because it's the next stop.
Yes, you guys, we need the conductor. But
he's coming back soon.
Watch the lap bar because he'll lower it for you. We are going to get on the railroad right now.
Your attention, please. The Disneyland Limited, now leaving for a grand circle tour of the Magic Kingdom.
When hinges creak in doorless chambers, and strange and frightening sounds echo through the halls, whenever candlelights flicker, where the air is deathly still, that is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight. Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Mansion. I am your host, your ghost host. Kindly step all the way in, please, and make room for everyone. There's no turning back now. Our tour begins here in this gallery, where you see paintings of some of our guests as they appeared in their corruptible, mortal state. Your cadaverous pallor betrays an aura of foreboding, almost as though you sense a disquieting metamorphosis. Is this haunted room actually stretching? Or is it your imagination? And consider this dismaying observation. This chamber has no windows and no doors. Which offers you this chilling challenge. To find a way out. Of course, there's always my way.
All right, everybody. The railroad got us over here to Haunted Mansion, regular version, safely. We are sitting here with the guys from Miles from Main Street podcast. We got Brian and Mikhailo. Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We're definitely happy to be here.
Yeah, so glad that we were able to join you guys.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, you guys, for coming. And we were on an episode of your guys' show. And we just kind of did like a Disneyland, Disney World crossover. And I know Haunted Mansion was brought up. And I know that's Hattie's favorite attraction. And you guys said you want to talk about Haunted Mansion. So we were actually really excited because Haunted Mansion is just, you know, it's one of those staple attractions. So
for sure. Yeah. It's definitely, I think the big reason we talked about it a lot is because it's my favorite. It's my favorite ride at Magic Kingdom. So. Definitely, for sure. We're definitely happy to talk about Haunted Mansion.
You guys,
I thought it would work out well because. Sorry about that. I was able to get on there twice on my last trip too, so I thought it fit out well.
Nice. And you guys, I want to talk about your guys' show just a little bit as well, and then we can talk about your recent trip too, Brian.
Yeah. Our show. Kind of came out of it's kind of a COVID show where we ended up Zooming each other and talking about Disney. We knew that Brian and I were actually family. Brian's my cousin. And so we knew about each other's love for Disney. So we decided over COVID, not being able to see each other that much, decided to do a Zoom call about Disney. And it took only one. We did one Zoom call and talked to each other about Disney, and we were like, you know what, like maybe we should make this into a podcast. I think it was kind of in both of our minds already, and then we took off from there. Kind of decided what we wanted to do, and made a podcast. For all of you listening, if you're interested in doing a podcast, it's actually, it takes some work, but just kind of setting it up and doing it, it's not too terribly difficult. So if you want to do it, go for it. And that's kind of what we did, was we just went head on and decided we wanted to do this. And it was just crazy that it came out of one little conversation over Zoom, and now we're 30 episodes deep.
Nice. One little spark.
Exactly. Yes.
Little Walt Disney World humor. So. And I love you guys also. So.
Yeah.
Because we're all miles from Main Street, no matter which park we're, frequent. So great name.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you guys are about the same distance away as Hattie is from Disneyland to Disney World, right? Because it's like 20 hours to drive there, 22?
Yeah, 20 to 25 hours to drive to Disneyland. So about the same.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that, man. I would be flying every time. But then again, it's like, we can't afford flying. You know, driving's cheaper sometimes. But where I live, it's always cheaper to drive. About 6 hours. Same with Joey. It's more convenient.
Yeah, I think you get the happier 6 hours because I got to go through L.A. You kind of come out the back side way. The back side of...
Hey, there you go. Hey.
The back side of desert.
Back side of Blythe and Indio and Palm Springs. So that's where I get to go.
And talking about driving, Brian, if you want to talk about your most recent trip, Brian decided to drive from Wisconsin all the way down to Disney World.
Yeah, we did. I've got a family of five. So when you start looking at flying, it starts to become prohibitive. And we had decided only about 6 weeks before we were going that we were going to go. So, you know, we went over spring break, so the prices were already spiking at that point. And to get us on would have been about $2,500 to get us on a flight. So we drove down, which saved a lot of money. And as I was saying before we started, it was a 27-hour drive to get down there. We were pretty weary by the time we got there. We were staying at the Contemporary, and we came in the back side of Disney World, like kind of behind Magic Kingdom. And that's just how Google brought us in. And so the first entrance to the Contemporary you come to is a cast member entrance. And so I drove past that, and you can't turn left into the Contemporary at all. So we drove by there, and my wife's like, we're never getting out of this car. I had to go and do a U-turn to get back in.
Did you do the drive in one straight shot or break it up?
Yeah, we did not stop. Ooh. We drove straight through.
Yeah, I don't do that. I do two days of driving when I drive. So
a couple years ago, we drove down and we camped, and I stopped halfway and spent the night. And same thing on the way back. And I just felt like it was a waste of time and money, because we would stop and we'd get up at 3 or 4 in the morning anyway and go.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. And so I just thought, well, we'll give it a shot. And if it gets bad, I'll just pull over somewhere and sleep for a while. But between my wife and I on the way down, we were able to make it. So I think I got maybe 2 hours of sleep the whole way down. But the way back was a little more rough. Every hour we're stopping, hey, you got to drive for a while.
Yeah, you got that anticipation of getting down there. Just hurry up and, oh, we're almost there. So
Yeah.
That's why I haven't driven in the last few trips, because the drive back is just so brutal.
It is, and I had taken that into account. But, you know, like I said, when you're looking at flying 5 people, it can get a little prohibitive. So
yeah.
Were you able to do all the parks, or?
We did. We only did 3 park days, and we had considered adding a 4th, but by the time we would have added it, it was all sold out for the week. So we picked up the Park Hopper instead. So we did Animal Kingdom in the morning, and then hopped over to Epcot for the afternoon and evening, which worked out really well, because there wasn't a ton at Animal Kingdom that we really wanted to do. So we got to do a few of the things that we wanted to do there. We hit one of the things that I like doing is it across from the bird show, the Feathered Friends in Flight, I believe they're calling it now. They have a station there, a relaxation station. So we grabbed some breakfast and we sat there, and all the flotillas come by right by there, and there's like nobody in there. So the characters are looking right at you the whole time.
Yeah.
So my kids love that. So
I think I ate there. That's, I think, where I had my brisket and macaroni or something. Cheese and macaroni and brisket or something.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think that's the one, because my niece was like, yo, you got to try this place. I'm like, okay, you had me at, first you had me at macaroni, then you had me at brisket for pulled pork. So
I think so. I think you were at Flame Tree Barbecue, right?
That's
Flame
what it
tree,
was. Okay.
Flame yeah. Tree. Yep. Exactly.
So you're over by Dinoland, and we're over more, between like the safari and
yeah, I think I remember seeing that arena. Okay, cool.
Yeah, there. So yeah, it was a good spot to stop. And then we ate too much food at Epcot, and
no such thing. No.
I think I put $200 on a gift card, and we blew through it pretty quick. So, but yeah, we did that. We hit Hollywood Studios on Wednesday. That was awesome. Got to get on Rise of the Resistance, which I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity yet, but I was blown away. I just,
yeah,
the adrenaline rush is just awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so. We had a really good day. It was pretty hot that day, so my family melts in the hot weather. So, you know, we had to manage that a little bit, but it was still a really good day.
Were you able to get on the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
What did you think about that?
We're leaving that park, and my kids are like, would you like more? Would you like more? And I'm like, you know, I have always had trouble picking the favorite, but
yeah,
Mickey and Minnie's is just amazing. Like,
well, that's what I was telling Ryan and my co-host on our other podcast. They're like, because I'm not a big, none of us are big fans of that new style of animation, but that attraction is amazing. So I was going to see what people thought about it, because I thought it was awesome. So
yeah, I was super hyped for it already. I had watched a lot of videos of it. We did a top 10 before I had gone on the trip, and I had already put it up in my top 10.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited to ride it, and it did.
Well, that's good for hearing that, because I went in blind, so seeing someone that actually saw videos of it and still the same effect, that was really cool. So
yeah, just that room that flips on you as you're in it, you know, at the end. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that yeah. The technology is amazing, and there's so many things to find and to see as you're going through it that I really wanted to ride it a second time. We just kind of ran out of time.
Yeah.
One of the things we did, we left at 7, the park closed at 8, and we hopped over to Magic Kingdom. My wife and my middle daughter, we went running into the park for the last hour at Magic Kingdom. And we just sat under the lights of the castle and had a waffle over at Sleepy Hollow. And then we went running on to Haunted Mansion and come out, and it's 2 minutes to closing. My wife's like, "You think we can get anything else?" And I'm like, "Small world's right there."
Yeah.
So we went running over there, and I'm like, "Let's go to Peter Pan." But she had already jumped in line and was bugging the cast member if we could get on there. So we ended up on Small World, but that was a lot of fun. We were really glad that we had done that. Great, that last hour. Yeah. So, and then we'd spent the day at Magic Kingdom on Friday, which was a high of 65 degrees, and we were all upset. That's the first day I've ever been in a park and worn a sweatshirt all day.
What 65 is? What 65 in Celsius?
I think it's like, yeah. I think it's like 17 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know the conversion.
I'm Googling it.
Yeah, this is
sweater weather.
18, that's hot.
That was doing pretty good. Doing pretty good, Joey.
I'm getting too used to Hattie here.
that's our summer. 18 is like that's our summer. We're like at the beach.
But you don't like the beach.
Go to the beach.
I don't, but like the people here.
It was 60 today here, and it was starting to feel comfortable. So, which we're up in Wisconsin, so
I'm going to die in Disney World in June.
Yeah, bring a tank top.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing clothes. I'm just going in. Tank top and shorts.
Gold Bond will be your friend.
Oh my God! Go if we and I know I don't want to take over the podcast, but moving into tips and tricks, Gold Bond is your friend when you're. I did Gold Bond for a while, and I've actually found Body Glide, and I use that too.
Yeah, I'll glide that one up next.
Oh, I just ordered some of that stuff.
Yeah, Body Glide. Yeah, I started running too. I've become a little bit more in shape recently, and Body Glide is definitely. I've been running half marathons lately, and so that's what I use is Body Glide. So
very cool.
We'll get them to sponsor this show.
Go brought to you by Body Glide.
Okay. Headed to Orlando. Try Body Glide.
Ryan already bought some, so we're good. Or Hattie, sorry.
Before you get on that ride, Body Glide. He's got a ride. Okay,
perfect.
Never mind.
Perfect, all right.
So all Haunted cool. Mansion.
Yes, Haunted Mansion. Yoho Joe said he wanted to change up the fun facts this episode. So, you take it away, sir.
Whatever, yeah, you, got. So, whatever you got. So, this attraction, especially the Disneyland version, but both of them, is filled with fun facts, but I thought that our listeners and a lot of listeners, this attraction and Pirates of the Caribbean are probably some of the most researched attractions in history because people just love the Haunted Mansion so much, the backstory, the urban legends of it. So instead of fun facts, because I know a lot of people already know it, I just want to shout out one of the guys I'm kind of friends with and been listening to a long time, but Jeff Baim, he's part of the Mousetalgia podcast. He does his own Doom Buggy spook show. And he's actually an author and has written the book, The Unauthorized Story of Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion. And this book is like the book for any Haunted Mansion fan. Has so many stories and history. And I mean, this is like when they had his favorite movies, Haunted Mansion. And yes, sir. So the filmmakers actually went to this book to get some of the history. So I just want to shout out Jeff Baim and the book. And very cool because it's even been forwarded. His second edition was forwarded by Guillermo del Toro, who I'm a big fan of, and who's a big known Mansion fan. So I figure instead of some fun facts, check out the book. And you guys, if you're a Disneyland fan or Haunted Mansion fan, yeah, you'll love it.
That sounds like a great book to pick up.
Yeah.
I'm not a reader.
but it's awesome.
I went and picked up Jason Sorrell's book, which probably might be a little bit easier to find for people, but that is a really good one as well.
Yeah, I think he's mentioned him because I've seen him in a couple conventions and talking about different things of the mansion. So, but yeah, it's very cool. Very cool. Very, very informative.
Nice, nice. Oh, do you have anything on it, Brian, at all? I don't know if you wanted to talk about anything because you were kind of the historian on your guys' show.
I guess going off of what Joey was saying, the mansion is pretty well known. But one of the things that we have at Disney World that it is not at Disneyland is in the Pet Cemetery, they have a statue of Mr. Toad because Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was taken out of the Magic Kingdom there. So they put a little ode to him up in the Pet Cemetery. So
ode to the
for
toad.
Those that aren't familiar with the world, I think that's
ode to the toad.
Did they make it a fun, like a fun little rhyme or anything in on his gravestone or his headstone?
Yeah, it says, I can never remember exactly how it goes. Yeah, I'm not going to get it right.
It's all good.
So I found, I'm sure there's more than one Hidden Mickey, but the one that I know of, and I don't know if it's at Disney World as well, but is the in the dining room, the plate setting in the three plates with the shape of Mickey's head. So I'm sure there's more like hidden that I just don't know about, but on the few sites I like double checked on, that's the only one I could find.
Yeah, I've always thought that was really cool. And this isn't a hidden Mickey. This is another thing that I've always found. And it's kind of like Haunted Mansion lore. And that's the ring that is embedded in the queue. And from what I understand and everything that I've read about this is that this was a mistake. Not a mistake, but it was kind of like thought up by fans and people that were working there, because it was actually a pole, like a post that was pulled out, and then people started to say that it was the ring of the bride in Haunted Mansion, when in reality it was really just kind of like a post in Disneyland that they pulled out. And the fun thing is that in Disney World they've actually put an embedded ring in the queue, so it's a real ring. But I always found that it was interesting that in land it was just like this random post that Disney had pulled out, that all these people, all these fans saw that little circle and thought that it was a wedding ring for the I think her name is Candace.
Constance?
Constance, yes, Constance, the bride in Haunted Mansion. That was her ring. Disney's definitely leaned into it a little bit more now, but I always found that interesting.
Yeah, I like how they've kind of accepted a lot of the fan theories and urban legends and started kind of twisting their own stories around that. I guess this is kind of a fun fact, but the Haunted Mansion has actually spawned off two different comic books from Disney Kingdoms. That was a It lasted a few years, but the first one was Secrets of the Weird, which was more based on Museum of the Weird. Mm-hmm. And one of the main characters in that was I haven't read it in a while, but it basically was a tribute to Rolly Crump, and he was the uncle.
Yep.
And then they actually did a Haunted Mansion comic series, and that was a great, great series. Each one was like five books, but that was really cool.
And we're actually, this is pretty poignant that we're doing this right now. It's really relevant because I just saw announced, I don't know if it was announced today, but on Disney Plus, they're starting a Disney, I think it's kind of like a streaming series about a bunch of different rides at the parks, and they're starting with Haunted Mansion. So I'm super excited about that.
That's cool. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, I think it was announced today because I think I saw it somewhere on social media today about it.
Like an Imagineering story type thing.
Yeah, I feel like I watched the Imagineering story like once a month all the way through.
It's yeah. that good.
It is good. It's super good.
Have you guys ever seen one of the original from Walt Disney Presents or World of Color? But like when with Kurt Russell and the Osmonds.
Yes.
Like when they were first like introducing the opening of Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen
it. I don't think Ryan's seen that, but
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, it's classic. It's great because Kurt Russell's like a
who's that
teenager or something still.
Oh, yeah, he's young.
I'm just joking.
But the attraction.
Yeah, and I also enjoy there's that one of Walt, and he's kind of going through at that point it was still Museum of the Weird.
Yeah.
And he was kind of going through all of the fun stuff that they were working on, and it was funny, he kept calling it, he couldn't pin down the term Museum of the Weird. He kept calling it something different each time he talked to somebody new. But it was fun. I think he went and talked to Rolly Crumb and talked to a whole bunch of the other Imagineers. I remember there was a section in there where they were looking at kind of the first concepts of Pepper's Ghost, which is the effect that they use in the dining room. Mm-hmm. And he was just super excited about all of it. And it was all still kind of blue sky at that point, because I don't think they had nailed down what it was going to be like. But I enjoy that one a lot, too.
All right. Well, awesome. We can talk about our memorable favorite moments on the attractions. We'll let Hattie and Brian. We'll actually let Brian go first. This is our guest. And then we can let Hattie go. This is your guys'. Sorry, not. I mean, Mikhailo. I'm sorry about that. Mikhailo's favorite ride and Hattie's favorite ride. You guys. Yeah, we'll let Mikhailo go first. Sorry.
For sure. Yeah, I have two that are coming to mind right away. The first one, we're a world podcast. So I'll talk about world first. And this is, I've talked about on our podcast before about how, me, my brother, and my sister were kind of the clan that we all go to Disney and we're really into it. And there was one time that we were on, Haunted Mansion that the Haunted Mansion ended up breaking down, and it was right as we were turning away from the dining room area. And it was just like a black wall. we got stranded just staring at a black wall. And it was funny because it was like out of all of the areas of Haunted Mansion to get stranded at, to like look at and like kind of take in, we were just in front of a black wall. And so that was something that we did together that meant a lot to me because it was fun kind of being there with my brother and sister. And that was kind of the trip where we got more into the park together. So that meant a lot. I just thought it was funny that something like that happened to us. But then this is another breakdown that ended up happening. But this was actually at land. And it's kind of something that we tend to talk about, or we have talked about on our podcast before. But I'm not a huge fan of the overlay that they do over Christmas, like the Jack Skellington, oh God, what's that movie? Nightmare Before Christmas. I was waiting for a second. It's a Zoom call full of Disney nerds, so I knew somebody was gonna come in with it.
The Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Yeah, the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay. Not a huge fan of it. mainly because I wouldn't consider myself a purist per se for Haunted Mansion, but I love that original ride. So it would have been great to be in land and see that original ride. But at the same time, I was still happy I was able to get on it. But same thing where the ride broke down. And it was kind of like right in front of like this really intricate scene. And now on the other hand, that ride broke down and I was able to kind of take everything in. It was kind of one of the coolest times a ride has broken down for me. Cause when they do that overlay, they cram that thing full of all kinds of detail. So I remember just sitting there and just taking pictures of everything that was around me because it was just so cool. It was just so cool to kind of sit there and take in so much that was happening. I think I remember where it happened. It was kind of there were those like crazy plants that were trying to eat you. And just turned and those plants were like in my face. And then the whole thing broke down. So it was so cool to kind of be able to stop. Because that doesn't happen a lot in these rides. You're just kind of like whisked through the ride and you take everything in as you're supposed to take it in. But then every so often it'll break down and it'll just stop in front of these scenes that these Imagineers have just painstakingly gone through. So it's cool to kind of sit there and take in all that detail. So that was another time, another big thing that's happened to me with Haunted Mansion. And since you guys are land, I thought it would be pretty relevant to talk about that.
And that's a hallway too, so there's a lot going on there.
Yeah,
the main hallway with like the doors and like said the plants, the wreath, the coffin. Let me out. You know, all that right there. Very cool.
I know Hattie. I think he. Do you feel the same way? I'm just.
I also hate the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, but mainly because like my last four or five trips it's either been closed because they're changing it for 6 months, either 3 months before, 3 months after, which is dumb, or it's just like Halloween Christmas time. But for my like memorable moments, I'd have to say the first time I think I saw the Hatbox Ghost. I don't remember exactly which trip, but it was like pretty like a month or two after they changed it, and after all like the like stories about him and like was he actually there, and just it was so cool to see, and they did such a good job of that. And then another one of my favorite things to do is to, I don't know if they've added this just because Disneyland has it, but the ballroom scene where like the glasses in front of you, sorry to ruin the magic, but where the break is, where someone shot it with a BB gun, but and it just looked like a spider web, so they just put a little dollar store spider on top. I love just showing people that don't like aren't like us, so it's just like a fun thing to do. Because
you know what's funny about that, I have never seen that fix.
Really? Okay, when we go I'll show
no
you.
I you know I've seen it in pictures and stuff, but like that, like Indiana Jones last episode, that Mickey, that your ears were talking about this. Yeah. One I know it's there, but for some reason in person I can't spot it. But you said it was an easy fix. I did read up on it, and they said it would cost way too much to.
Yeah, because they would have had to take in the roof off and pull the huge piece of glass out.
Yeah.
So instead, they put a dollar store spider on it.
It works. Yeah. They leaned into it, like you said earlier. It's like they just lean into it. It's like
yeah.
And people like me, I'm looking for it every time. I can't see it. But I'll show you. Yeah.
Right. And the funny thing about that too is that they have another piece of glass. Like Disney thought about this already there because of how the effect is. It's just this giant, humongous piece of glass. So they have another one. They just didn't think about having to tear out the roof and having to put everything else in there. So I think that's funny that they have a replacement, but they don't want to put it in.
Maybe when they open back up, it's replaced and you just can't tell. And they put the spider back. Who knows?
That's just bad planning. Like you were saying, it's just like, well, if it ever happens, we got it. Then it's like, crap.
sounds like another one of my favorite rides, the Yeti, where they can't replace the Yeti because it's sitting on a column that's like load bearing. So they literally can't fix it. Because it's like they'd have to tear everything else apart. So,
Oh, is that the reason? I never knew the reason. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's the reason.
Wow.
I think Joe Rohde said like every 6 months they'll consider it and talk about it, and yet they still can't come up with a way to fix it.
So the Yeti's still in there, right? He just doesn't move.
Yeah, it's Disco Yeti right now. So they put a strobe light on him, and they have him in just like his hand is reaching out at everybody. But it's just I saw it when I was real young, and it was really cool how it moved. But apparently, it was so powerful that the column that it was sitting on started to crack, and so they had to shut it off. Yeah,
it drove Joe Rohde to retirement.
That's why he left.
Till now, yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, because the one at Land is like the effect is the one they added a few years ago was super cool. Mm-hmm. Like it gets in your ear and you're like, oh man, you can't see him, but you can hear him. So
yeah.
What do you got there? Brian, what do you have? Memorable moments on this one?
I think this last trip was actually the most memorable because I was actually able to pay attention to it. The last few times that I've ridden the ride, I've always been consoling a kid. The way through it, so it's more of me turning to my left and looking down at whatever kid I have, you know, burying their head into my side. So I had that night that we were able to just jump on there right at the end of the night. I ended up in a Doom buggy by myself, so it was a lot different for me because I was able to just take it all in. And I've always enjoyed the ride. I love the ride, and it was nice to be able to see some of the things I haven't seen in a while. So,
is it the same ride at World? I don't know. I don't know if you guys know Joey or Mikhailo. Is it like the same experience?
It's mostly the same, but Magic Kingdom has a lot more updated scenes. I think I've said a few times, like when you get out of the stretching room at Magic Kingdom, you pretty much go straight to the Doom Buggy. And so when you're on the Doom Buggy, you're riding through the hallway with the transitioning portraits, where at Disneyland, you get out of the stretching room and you're walking through that the room with the portraits, then around where the statues stare at you. And then you board a all black room at Disneyland, where if you look at both ends where the Doom Buggies are coming from and where they're going, you see the staircase. And so this is where I think they should have the endless staircase scene at Disneyland that they have at Magic Kingdom. Because when I wrote that one, that is such a cool effect. And it is so cool, and that would be, I mean, that's exactly where it would be at Disneyland if they ever put it there, which I think they should because it's just a blank dark room.
Yeah, and you're right on it. Those are the two biggest differences. Honestly, for World, I love that scene, the never-ending stairways. But it does kind of feel... I mean, I've never ridden the Land version, but it does kind of feel not like shoehorned in, but like it does kind of feel weird because it makes more sense if you're just kind of going through everything and then you get up to the top. And then there's all that stuff there. But it definitely kind of, I don't know, I felt the same way in Pirates when I went to Land, where like everything made more sense than the Disney World version.
It stretched out a little bit more.
Exactly, yeah.
And after that staircasing, that's where they transition to the hallway. And so you're in a pitch black room and you see eyes blinking at Magic Kingdom. And then the eyes start blending into the wallpaper. So, you know, the wallpaper has the face. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, Magic Kingdom has the great updates that I think it would be accepted at Disneyland. I know it's the... you know, the original, can't touch it too much, but what they put in here, I mean, is so cool. One of my favorite effects at the Magic Kingdom version is the ghost host in the stretching room, because there's this audio effect where you actually feels like the ghost host is like whizzing past your head as he's talking. Mm-hmm. Where at Disneyland, you're in the stretching room and it's like this portrait has audio, then this portrait has audio. It kind of, you could tell where the sound is coming from, but how they do that in Magic Kingdom is, it's unexplainable. It's just super cool.
Yeah, and speaking of the stretching room, we can talk about how the stretching room is actually from necessity. Is that in land where you actually go down, whereas in world the top actually moves up. So it's doing a different technique in each park. However, I've been to both. Couldn't tell. Couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, I think at Disneyland it's slightly longer because of the. Sorry, I'm taking the magic away. The elevator. Yeah. But it was cool. I mean, for the social distancing, Brian could probably attest to this, but how they already had it stretched. We just walked right through it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bummer to miss that whole show, but I mean, it was still kind of cool just to like, oh, cool, you know.
I do that at Disneyland. They already have it stretched. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Jump down.
You'll fall. Hey,
I don't know, Joe. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but we didn't know if they were going to actually have the stretching room when they reopened. And they do. They have just 6 stickers on the ground for groups.
Oh, okay. So. They should have done spider webs instead of. Yeah.
What else would they do, though? If you. They... Stairs?
Yeah, throw the handicap entrance.
There you go. Yeah. Be kind of a cool little, like, you know, behind the scenes to get down where you need to go.
Yeah, because after by the switchbacks, by the main wall by the tracks, there is a little staircase. It's like a 2-step, 3-step staircase that gets you right into the hallway. So, but yeah.
Well, nice.
Should I even ask about the new changes that they did during the closure out in Disneyland? Have you guys looked into that yet?
Yeah, nothing major. They just added some more animals into the cemetery and in the hallway. Like when you're walking to the dune buggies, they've like added stuff.
One of the portraits, I think, is the Cleopatra portrait. They brought it back or something.
Oh, that, or it's not. It's isn't the who's the girl with the snakes in her hair?
Medusa.
That's what I meant. Not Cleopatra.
Medusa, not Cleopatra. Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing major. So
yeah.
And it sounds like that's all queue based. So it's not like actual, like ride based.
Nothing ride.
Yeah, because I went last year, about 2 weeks before the park was closed, and they had the scaffolding up on the mansion, and they had it like the old. Instead of just green covers, they actually had it like you saw the concept art from the original Imagine surrounding it. But I'm sure they did like a lot of exterior painting and stuff too. But I haven't seen any videos because I'm like, I'll wait till we go. But I think there's a few other little slight touches. So
I did see something today where they were saying the portraits in the stretching room have been updated to look more like what's in Disney World. So they showed a before of the tightrope walker. I don't know, they changed her dress a little bit and changed the background color. So I don't know if they went for that like digital printing like they've done in World or what, but that was one thing I'd seen.
I think because they keep auctioning off the original stretching room portraits at that big was it the van something auctions that they have where they're because I know Chris Hardwick has like a few of the actual stretching portraits, but
that's crazy.
Yeah. But what about you, Cruz? You got some favorites?
Yeah. It has to do with the stretching room. One of my most memorable moments is when I was a kid. You know, I did my first time going on it, and the stretch room's doing its thing. I have no idea what's going on. And then the whole, at the end of the original one where he says, there's always my way. And, you know, you see the ghost host hanging there. And I didn't know what to think. I look up and everybody in the stretch room is laughing. So of course I'm this 5-year-old kid just like, why is this funny? This is creepy, you know? And, you know, as I got older, it was always a thing that I thought about when I saw that. And I would just laugh because that's what I did when I was 5. And just like a weird thing at Disneyland. But, you know, it's, you know, that's how it is. And then, I don't know, just going on with, you know, my mom, cause she's in a wheelchair. So that was one of those things. We didn't go to the wheelchair access or anything, not inside there, but having the ride stop because, you know, it's on this Omni Mover and it's like, if you can't, we can, for the most part, we can nail it on all those rides, get her in there and get her out. But, you know, having the ride stop because of you, you know, but of course everyone gets to listen to that audio throughout the attraction, and then they make it, you know, part of the experience, even when it stops. I don't think all attractions do that. Some have picked up on that, but so it's just part of the audio. But yeah.
But yeah, I've noticed that that's kind of like an older attraction type thing. Not that like most of these newer attractions don't have it, but they're a lot more whimsical. I know Brian, one of Brian's favorite, actually I think is Brian's favorite attraction is Big Thunder. I love that spiel for when it breaks down. That's a good one. But yeah, I've noticed that some of the older attractions kind of have that more themed breakdown spiel. Yeah,
I know Little Mermaid has that, the Ariel's Undersea Adventure. It Sebastian comes on and he says whatever he says. So it's still part of the theme, which doesn't take you out. You know you're stopping for a reason, but maybe when Ursula's head falls off, they had to stop the ride, right?
That didn't happen in the movie.
<I know. laughs> Sorry to ruin the magic. That's animatronic. But yeah, those are my couple of my memorable moments on the attraction. Yeah, when I was a young lad.
You have a few. It's so hard to think of because been on the Disneyland version so many times, the holiday version, the regular version. But I think one of the ones that stands out was a recent trip. And in my Doom Buggy, and this was one where we're with a couple friends, but I rode the Doom Buggy by myself, and the music was out the entire ride, but all the other effects was on. So especially going through the hallway, all you hear the let me out, and all the knocking, and some of, there's like one of the doors is just making like a sound. So it was actually pretty creepy. Then the seance room, just hearing the seance, and there, you know, there's nothing in the dining room and in the attic. But then going down through the graveyard, again, no music, but you hear the, well, you do hear the music from the, where they're playing it, where the band is playing and stuff. So it was just a weird, kind of cool version of it. Like, not, I don't say like a remix, but just it, I don't know, just made the ride seem a little bit different. So I thought that was pretty cool. Then one more time was we were with a group of friends, and it was like 12:05, and they let us in, and we were like the last ones in, and it was me, Christy, her friend Jacob, her kids, and a couple other friends, and we go through the stretching room, and I'm trying to take a picture of the portraits. So I'm you know, trying to position my phone, and the cast member is like, "You guys want to ride up the elevator?" And we look at each other like, you know, Disney nerd stuff. We're like, "Yeah," but they hit her kids and friends. Everybody like halfway down. We're like, "Hey guys!" And they didn't hear us. We're like, "Ah, dang it!" So we didn't. We could have, but we didn't want to get them all scared and stuff. But had our chance to ride up the elevator.
That's when you separate for a little while.
Exactly. You know, they're not my kids. Love you, Ty and Maya.
Shout out. Awesome.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Shout outs. We got some Instagram shout outs. I put this one out there on the story. And again, we got a lot of, and this is these are all for Hattie. I'm just joking. And Mikhailo, apparently. But some of our listeners, we have Mrs. Workout and Disney on Instagram writes. So what I posted out there is what is your most memorable moment or favorite time on, you know, on this attraction, like I normally do. And she writes, when Jack takes over. So, you know, so we also have Kona Dub on Instagram writes, the Christmas overlay, everything about it, seeing Jack, Oogie Boogie, and the gingerbread house slash smell. And then let's see here. Sasquatch.
Oh.
He writes, we do that for our engineers. He writes, looking up when the lightning strikes and riding with my mama. So, is he talking about the stretching room at that point?
Yeah, that's right. That sounds right.
I'm just thinking of another part in the attraction where they would have that. But yeah, that is actually a pretty cool part. Another person from Instagram, Spring in a Storm, writes, my brother and I pestered our mom mercilessly to take us when it opened in 1969. Then I responded with, did you get to go when it opened? And no, sadly, no. But right when it opened, I should say. But still kind of cool. And then they do have that little in the graveyard. I forget which animal it is. Maybe it's a dog that had the death date is the birth date or opening date of Haunted Mansion. So it's like August 9th, 1969.
That's why I always like the attraction, because it's a day after... Well, our birthday.
Right, exactly.
And almost, like 10 years before my date of birth. So
35 years before mine. I'm just joking. Oh my God. I'm joking, Joey. This person on Instagram. What?
No. Keep going up. I'll bring it up later.
Okay. This person on Instagram has a pretty cool name. It's All Aboard the Magic. Writes, Haunted Mansion during the holidays. So... Last one, we have Disney Girl Sherlock 94 writes, seeing and smelling the gingerbread house during the holidays.
I'm seeing a trend here.
Those are all for Hattie there. I know we're not talking about the holiday version, which is fine. I'm still not going to, you know, not read the listener comments. But I mean, I have no problem with the holiday layover overlay. I don't know why I keep saying layover. I'm not flying on a plane. Overlay.
My only big problem with it is I've always felt that the attraction in the movie is more of a Christmas movie. I mean, I get they want to bring it out for Halloween because of Jack Skellington, the Pumpkin King in Halloween Town. So I think they should bring it back or bring it out maybe when they do all the Christmas decorations, like so in November. I mean, bringing it out at the end of August, early September is way too early in my opinion. So, and this is totally first world problems, but like when you go... No, when you go for Halloween, and you're like, yeah, Halloween time, and then you're, they just did the overlay. Then you go back, you know, during Christmas time, you're like, I already want the other one back. But I forgot to bring this up, but one of my favorite times was, I think I brought it up a couple times before, but when the remake, or I don't know if it's a remake or whatever, but when Frankenweenie, the stop motion version came out, that Halloween season, they actually put Sparky's grave in the pet cemetery.
Oh, and yeah, I remember that.
So he had a tombstone, and the grave was dug out, which is really cool.
Nice.
So I wish they would still do that for the holidays. You know, it's a small little touch, but it ties in my opinion, with Nightmare.
Yeah, and someone mentioned something earlier about, like, a retired character from the park, but, like, they should do retired attractions. Put those in there permanently, but like just little details like that, like here lies the people mover or something like that.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be kind of cool, man.
And I got to shout this out for my sister because I know she would comment and she forgot to, but I know one of her memorable moments was when her, my dad, and Mike, our cousin, were younger, and they wrote it when that knight in the armor would jump at people.
Oh my God, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And she still says that was the scariest thing she's ever encountered in her whole entire life. Because he literally, like, it's right when you turn into the endless hallway with the candlestick floating. And he was just like, brah, like right at him. And my dad's like, my dad is partially deaf in one of his ears from being a cop. But he's like, that was the reason why he lost his hearing, because of my sister and my cousin screaming so loud on that attraction. So.
Well, was it a real person or animatronic?
No, it was a person in Okay. There's a picture. I'll send you guys. There's a picture, and it's actually you see them reaching out for them. They're just like,
so. Yeah. And they got rid of it because people were swinging on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's LA. So
yeah.
Sorry, LA friends.
Yeah. But yeah, that's awesome. That sounds funny. That's a good memorable moment. So shout out to Nikki Pitts.
Nikki Pitts.
Nice. You guys had anything else on the haunted, the mansions of haunted?
No,
sir.
It's a great attraction.
It's nice.
Coast to coast.
Do your Olaf. It's a great attraction.
One thing I do want, because we talked about how popular it is and how like this is one of the most researched attractions that Disney has done. Have you guys ever seen, it's on YouTube, but it's called Missing in the Mansion. It's a fan film.
Yes. Love Missing in the Mansion.
So for all our listeners who's never seen this, check it out on YouTube. It's about 5-10 years old. But it is an amazing video, and the people that made it actually did a sequel called Followed from the Mansion. It's on. Actually, I got it right here. I'm just full of shout outs on this episode, but it's a Dawes Brothers on YouTube. These are really high quality fan films, and both mansion based. So you guys got to check it out.
Yeah, and it was filmed guerrilla style.
Yes, so
they did it in the parks. Part of it is all park, and part of it is them at home doing it. Yeah. But it's all guerrilla style, like they're actually at Disneyland filming
like an engagement, and it's so cool. So you guys got to check it out. Once again, it's Missing in the Mansion by the Dawes Brothers, and it's brought up one of the urban legends of like, hey, did you hear about some mother who dumped her son's ashes in the ride? And it is creepy, but it is really cool. So
very cool. Yeah,
that's good.
I haven't seen that, but now I want to check it out. So
yes, and I'm something done.
Nice. Okay, yeah. No, that was a good thing to end on because I had never heard of that. So that'd be I'm the only one. But all right, well, we'll go ahead and we'll park the railroad back on Main Street. Once again, we'd like to thank Miles from Main Street. Awesome. Podcast, Brian and Mikhail, thank you guys for coming on. And also tell everyone where they can find your guys' show as well.
You guys can find us basically anywhere you find your podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Miles from Main Street, and we have a community page out there as well. So Miles from Main Street community. We're on Instagram at Miles from Main Street, and pretty easy, simple forward type stuff. But yeah, if you guys are interested, go give us a listen, and we'd love to hear from you out on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, until next time, you guys stay safe out there. I know it's getting late where you guys are. So,
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
But yeah, no problem at all, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great talking to you guys again.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
All right, guys. Yeah, that was the Miles from Main Street podcast. That was a great discussion on the Haunted Mansion. As I said, it was a staple attraction. And yeah, so thank you guys. Go check their episodes out, and check us out on their show too. So that was also a great episode.
And we would like to thank our engineers one more time before we head out. We'd like to thank Cousin Jenny, Bernie, Sasquatch, John, and Earl. Thank you guys for helping us chug along, and we'll see you guys at the next show.
Awesome. And one more time, we want to shout out Dizcore Apparel, D-I-Z. Sorry, www.dizcore.com. Go check out their shirts and pins. They have pins now. And Dizcore Apparel on Instagram. You can check out their previous designs, their next design coming out. Also check out the Colorblind Artist on Instagram as well. They work with the Colorblind Artist these designs. Yeah, it is pretty cool. And then we don't know where we're going next episode, but we'll put it out there on Instagram, let you guys choose. But either way, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. No.
is your restaurant. Life is your restaurant. Life is your restaurant.